We're back on Fantasy Sports Today at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon signup, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So, we're going to have Dave Burkett on from the Detroit Free Press soon enough. Don't think we have him just yet, so just... we'll hold tight on that, but we'll talk generally about the Lions. So big change, obviously, at the head coaching position. And give me your thoughts initially, Kevin, on do you like the move of Matt Patricia? Do you think they're going to go? What do you think happens here generally?
Well, I actually think that the entire season can kind of depend on whether Patricia is a success or not. If he is, I do believe that this team can push for a playoff spot. I really like this roster, and we'll break that down more with Dave and things of that nature. If he ends up being a mess, if it ends up being another one of these guys that struggles without Bill, or even if it's just first-year head coach struggles, I think things then could become very, very difficult for this football team. But I actually have some high expectations for them. I think that they could be pretty good. I don't see the fourth-place stuff. I don't necessarily know how far behind they are of the Packers and Vikings. I like what they have there. And I do think that if Patricia can kind of just get some things going with this team defensively, I think that they can be a pretty good football team.
Yeah, so Matt Patricia's the head coach. Jim Bob Cooter has been there as the offensive coordinator. He's got a good relationship with Stafford. He stays there. They bring in Paul Pasqualoni as defensive coordinator, longtime Syracuse head coach. He's bounced around a bunch the last few years. He was with the Texans. He was at Boston College. He was, you know, in a few different spots. But here he is, defensive coordinator of the Lions. And in years past, and forgive me as I'm going to check the Lions' schedule as well, but in years past, we have seen this defense struggle. They've, you know, constantly been around that 8-8, 9-7 deal. They were 9-7 last year, came in second right behind the Lions as the Packers' season fell apart after Rodgers got hurt. But, you know, they missed out on the playoffs, is why they made the change at head coach. I think they were tired of going 9-7. Last year, the defense ranked 27th in yards given up, struggled on pass defense, middle of the road on rushing defense. But really the one thing they haven't been able to do, and if we get Dave on, we will, I'll get the exact number, but I think it's 66 games in a row where they haven't had a 100-yard rusher. They have not been able to run the ball at all, and it's been a committee for years, and it hasn't worked. Now, it seems like they're trying to rectify that because Amir Abdullah, who's a veteran, really hasn't taken that role and run with it. He's now in his fourth season, 15, 16, 17. Yeah, it's his fourth season. Theo Riddick is there, who obviously fulfills a role in catching passes, but they drafted Kerryon Johnson to try and see if they have maybe a bell cow back or somebody that can, you know, to just give you a sense of how bad they were rushing the ball last year. They were 31st in rushing attempts. They were 32nd in yards, and they were dead last in yards per attempt, 3.4 yards per carry. So that has obviously been a huge struggle for them. Pass defense, rushing the ball, they obviously addressed it in the draft by taking a left guard Frank Ragnow number in their as their first round pick, Kerryon Johnson as their second round pick. So they tried to continue to shore up that offensive line, Taylor Decker, the first round pick a couple of years ago. They didn't address too much on the defensive side of the ball. They got a defensive and Deshaun Hand in round four. But they're rolling out there with the guys that they've had. Glover Quinn is obviously really good, and Darius Slay is a really good corner and a high-paid one at that. So I think this is going to be part of it, and I always thought, I'm sorry I'm going on a rant here, but I've always thought that they play games so tight, they can't control the ball because they can't run it, that they're waiting around for Stafford to make some plays in the fourth quarter. And he does it a lot, but he can't do it every game. So that's why they end up 8-8, 9-7. Almost every game is tight in the fourth quarter, it feels like, with them.
Yeah, I think the running back situation is one that fantasy is a little bit more worrisome than actually on the field. Because if Kerryon Johnson hits, great. Like, that's awesome. They got that pick right. But I like what they've done with the offensive line. I think the Frank Ragnow pick is really going to work for them. And I do believe that the combo of LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick allows them to have a baseline of success that even if Kerryon Johnson ends up not being what they hoped for when they drafted him, they'll be just fine. Because I think that that's, it is a textbook pass catching running back in Theo Riddick and a first and second down running back in LeGarrette Blount who can do enough of the other stuff to where it's not a dead giveaway when they are on the field.
Yeah, so let's go position by position. We got Matt Stafford. He was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th last year. He was right behind Kirk Cousins, right in front of Phillip Rivers. Right now, he's going as the 10th QB off the board. He's behind Cousins and Garoppolo, in front of Luck and Roethlisberger. I want Stafford of that group. I like him. He's the one I feel safest about. Obviously, you got questions about Luck. I think Roethlisberger could have a really good year, but you're always, the injury thing is always kind of lingering in the back of your head. But do you want to bet on Cousins in Minnesota and Garoppolo in San Francisco over Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford's clearly the most consistent of those three.
Yeah, I think that Stafford could have an awesome season. I mean, he was pretty good last year, 29 touchdowns to 10 picks, 65, almost 66 completion percentage, almost for 4,500 yards, and he's got a great receiving core. Marvin Jordan, Golden Tate continue to be probably the most underrated wide receiver duo in football, and it should be a really, or it could be rather, a really good year for Kenny Golladay. I do say I worry about the tight ends.
I think Golladay is the guy that could be really interesting. Really interesting. We'll get into their ADPs in a minute. What were you going to say about tight end?
I worry about it. I worry about it. Eric Ebron was almost a fantasy joke for a while. Like, oh, he's the breakout year. Never came. Okay. But he was better than what they're left with now, Luke Wilson or Levine Tololio.
Yeah. So we have Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. You can find him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. It's DaveBirkett. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. He's a Lions beat writer for Detroit Free Press and a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. So we were just getting into the discussion of this receiving corps, Dave, because certainly from a fantasy standpoint, everybody loves Golden Tate. He's a rock at that position. But is this the year that Kenny Golladay maybe usurps Marvin Jones to some extent, or does this become a three-headed monster?
Yeah, I think you guys hit it right. You know, all three guys are probably worth owning. I mean, none of those three is going to be an Antonio Brown type where you can, you know, depend on them every week. That's just, I think the Lions will spread the ball around a little too much. But, you know, they're all worth owning because I think they're all going to have their moments this year. I mean, Tate is good for, you know, 6 catches a game, and, you know, he's not going to put up the biggest touchdown numbers or the biggest yards. And, you know, Marvin's going to, he's going to have a couple of those games where he busts out for 125 yards and a touchdown or two. And I think Galladay's sort of in the same boat. I mean, he's a, you know, big guy, obviously showed some flashes last year, battled a hamstring, but, you know, he can get down the field and catch the ball. He can be a red zone threat. And because they don't have that tight end that's going to command the ball a lot, you're going to see the Lions play a lot of 3 wide receiver sets this year. So all three of those guys are going to get pretty good run.
Dave, how do you feel about the running game as a whole? This is something they're clearly trying to improve when they drafted Ragnow in the first, Kerryon Johnson in the second. They have a traditional 1-2 punch in LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick there, but Kerryon should, I think, because of where they drafted him, see a lot of work. How do you view the running game for Detroit this year?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know, I've used this little statistic before, I guess, but I think it's the last 3 or 4 years, the running backs that teams have traded up to get in the first 3 rounds. It's Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Melvin Gordon, and Kareem Hunt. And then the 5th one is Kerryon Johnson. So that just tells you what, you know, if the Lions traded up to get him in the 2nd round this past year, you know, they have designs on him having a big role. And I don't know that he's going to quite – put up the numbers that those guys have, but that's what they think of him. You know, they knew they needed to fix the running game, and they went up to get a back that they think can play on all three downs. Now, you know, he's not going to play on all three downs right off the bat because LeGarrette Blount, he's going to be that mauler. You know, you still have Theo Riddick, who's going to catch 50 or 60 passes. Kerryon's had some, he's had some injury history in college. So, I think they're going to manage his workload a little bit. And Matt Patricia is the type of guy who's on record as saying he likes having a share carry in the backfield. But I do think, you know, if you're looking for one running back to that's going to put up the most yards or maybe get the most opportunity this year, that guy is Kerryon Johnson for the Lions.
Again, we're with Dave Burkett. You can find him on Twitter at Dave Burkett. That's B-I-R-K-E-T-T. He's a Lions beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. So on that point, related to Matt Patricia, what has been yours or the media in general locally's perception of him? Ready for the job? It's usually sunshine and rainbows to get started in somebody's tenure, but what is your initial impression of him?
It's been pretty favorable so far. And you know, from a fantasy standpoint, look, the offense is going to be largely the same. You still have the same offensive coordinator. You still have Matthew Stafford pulling the trigger. You know, they did obviously recommit to the running game a little bit, so you would think they would be a little better in that area with the additions they made both to their offensive line and the backfield. You know, and I think, you know, everyone is sort of hoping, at least within the Lions organization around here, that the Lions get a sort of new coach bounce on the defensive side of the ball, because that's where Matt Patricia excels at. So look, they're far from a completed product, and in the NFC North, you still have the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, and you still have a really good team with the Vikings ahead of you. But you know, I think the Lions, because of their quarterback, because of some of the way that I think, you know, they're going to try to manage the game and play ball this year, I think they do have a chance to be, you know, 500 or better again.
Let me ask you on the point of Patricia. I was following along the kind of the idea that you had, where you're ranking the most important guys within the organization for this year. Stafford was one, and Patricia was two. How much pressure do you think Patricia could feel with this year one? Because I think that if he is successful, then we could see them push for the playoffs. But if he's not, it instantly will turn into another guy that can't survive without Bill Belichick.
Right. No, and because, you know, look, Bob Quinn last year, he said when he fired Jim Caldwell, he said he thought the Lions underachieved. And I think if you polled a lot of people around the NFL, there's probably a lot of people who thought they overachieved in going 9-7. You know, certainly not a lot of people picked them to make the playoffs last year. And, Bob Quinn said they underachieved, and he wanted a coach that could, you know, get them over that hump, make them a perennial playoff team, take them to that sort of next level, get them out of that mediocre 8-8, 9-7 sort of, you know, range that they had been in of late. And so, you know, there's going to be, not internally, because obviously he's got Bob Quinn's full support and the ownership's full support and everybody who matters, you know, full support. He won't face any pressure that way, but certainly fans will, you know, if the Lions don't win 9 games this year, they're going to look at it and say, well, you sold us this bill of goods that we were going to get a coach that was able to take us to the next level. So why haven't, you know, we done that? So yeah, I think there will be some pressure. Again, people around here, I don't get the sense anyone is thinking this is a Super Bowl team, but at the same time, once games kick off, there's a heavy appetite to win, and I think people will look around and say, well, you told us we were going to get better this year. Why aren't we better? Mm.
So Matt Stafford, to me, he's been one of those guys that, as I've watched him over the last 10 seasons, he's shown real improvement to me. Do you know what I mean? Like market improvement. He's a very, very good quarterback. And whereas a few years ago, when he first started his career, there was questions of injury history and decision making, and they had him throwing the ball 700 times. He's become a very good, polished quarterback to me. Do you ever get the sense that he's frustrated?
No, I haven't yet. I think early on in his career, you know, I've covered him really since his second season. He was definitely frustrated by the injuries and, you know, a lot of the talk that was around that and him not being able to, you know, whether he was ever going to live up to the hype as a number one overall pick. And even, you know, the subsequent years, I guess, when he was putting up a lot of yards, but the Lions, you know, there's one year when he threw for almost 5,000 yards and the Lions went 4-12. And, you know, people point to his record against winning teams and they say, well, he can't beat these winning teams. But I think you're right. I think Stafford has matured as a quarterback here. In these last couple seasons, you know, he's you know, he's not putting up 5,000 yards again, but they're not asking him to. And he's become a better passer because he's completing a higher percentage of his passes. He's spreading the ball around a little bit more. He's, you know, he's starting to do some things where, you know, he takes ownership of the team a little bit more. And that's something that early on, maybe that just wasn't, that didn't fall into his, you know, comfort zone. So I think the Lions are better right now because Matthew Stafford is a better, more consistent quarterback. Now that doesn't mean, you know, that he still doesn't have room to grow, because he does. He had too many turnovers last year. You know, he took too many sacks. Some of those were on him, not just that offensive line. And so I think, you know, Matthew needs to make some strides in that area while maintaining the consistency that he's shown, you know, spreading the ball around, completing some of those passes, if the Lions are going to get to that level where they are a perennial playoff team.
And Stafford will give them that consistency, so it'll be up to the other side of the football to make sure that they're not out of games and even put them in position to maybe even blow some teams out. I know, again, within that most important list, you mentioned Deshaun Robinson and Tease Tabor could see big years. I also think Ziggy Ansah is a question mark for this team, is just of what does he return to that former level? How do you feel about Ziggy Ansah playing on the franchise tag this upcoming season?
Yeah, look, when they went into the offseason, you know, I think there were two areas that they clearly needed to upgrade, and that was the running game and the pass rush. And they spent a whole lot of resources getting better in the running game. You know, they signed LeGarrette Blount. They spent, you know, four of their six draft picks on offensive linemen or running backs, fullbacks. You know, so I think they clearly addressed that area. They didn't do much to improve that pass rush. They signed Devon Kennard, who's going to play sort of a, you know, that hybrid outside linebacker. He'll rush a little. He'll play in coverage. He'll do a little bit of everything. But the biggest question is still Ziggy, because he's a couple years ago, everybody remembers he was a really, really good defensive end. And then injuries the last 2 years have held him back. I know he had 12 sacks last year, but he was not at all consistent. You know, nine of those sacks came in three sack games. So they need more out of that defensive line. They need more of that pass rush. And, you know, Patricia's counter to that is, well, there's a lot of different ways you can get pass rush. You know, you can blitz your linebackers, your safeties, your cornerbacks. You can do a whole lot of different things. And so, again, I think that's why the Lions think that maybe they can get some of that through coaching. And maybe, you know, when the options weren't there, they didn't want to force a pass rusher. But I still see them as being pretty thin on the defensive side of the ball, at least in the front seven. And so they need to make sure they hold up, no injuries, and they need to keep Ziggy healthy especially.
Great stuff. That's Dave Burkett. You can find him at the Detroit Free Press on Twitter at Dave Burkett, B-I-R-K-E-T-T. He's one of my favorite writers in all of the NFL. So, Dave, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, and have a good training camp.
No problem, guys. We'll talk to you again.
So we'll come back. We'll wrap up on the Lions and wrap up the show after this. It's Mike and Kevin on FST. We'll be back right after this.